Hey y'all, hey, I'm Dr. O, and you are watching Dr. O After Dark. And tonight, we are gonna have a really good time because I am joined here with my boy,
yes.
Chris Ross,
yes.
AKA Ross Verity.
Yes, how you doing, Peggy? How you doing?
I'm doing so good, y'all. Look at this beautiful smile. Look at this beautiful smile. This is a wonderful, educated, handsome,
yes.
engaged,
yes.
young man.
Engaged.
Let's get that straight now. So, engaged. I got you, sis. So I love it. So my boy here, he resides from St. Louis.
St. Louis, Missouri.
You know, shout out to my husband, Cornell. I love you. Call me,
that's hilarious.
Yes, call me. You know, remember back in 1999 with Roy Jones? At his what was the name of that club in Pensacola, Florida? You remember?
Wow!
If you don't, I do. Okay, sorry. Excuse me.
That's
you know,
right.
I kind of got you know.
Yeah,
I get hypnotized when I you know hear you know.
That's not allowed. That's hilarious.
Well, that's good because you have a beautiful smile.
I really appreciate you too.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I paid a lot for it.
It ain't cheap.
No, it's not. More than a car.
That's crazy. I mean, that's a good investment, though.
It is, as much as I smile and laugh all the time. So, you know, that's one of the things I get complimented on the most. My smile, my eyes. So, getting back to you. Because you know we can talk about me all day.
Yeah.
So tell us what you do out here in these ATL, STL ATL. Streets.
Ross Verity, so I'm a real estate investor, developer. Born and raised in St. Louis, Missouri. But the specific location I'm from is Castle Point, Missouri, which, you know, St. Louis, saying that you're from St. Louis is just like a broad name, kind of like how it is in Georgia, but I'm from a specific area, which is called Castle Point. It's like in the North County area of St. Louis, and that's where I'm born and raised, and that's where I predominantly invest, you know, heavily invested in.
Okay, is that where Cornell is from?
I think he's from, like, U City. Yeah, he's from U City.
Oh, yeah. I knew that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I just didn't know all the, you know, neighborhoods.
It's funny you say Cornell.
You know, all them others call him.
But me,
you know.
I get it.
I call him.
That's hilarious. But nah, yeah, from, you know, St. Louis, but, you know, Castle Point is where I'm really from. And that's where I invested. You know,
okay.
That's where I chose to spend my money and my energy going from.
Okay. So tell me a little bit more about that specific area and why you chose to invest in that area.
So that area is like a lower income area. That's where I'm born and raised in the whole process of all my schooling from preschool up to high school and graduating. So it's not the most back in the day crime ridden. Mm-hmm. It had a negative light on it. So I always had the mindset of when I got in position to, I wanted to always change the narrative about where I'm from. Like, can I make my area be predominant like the other areas around us is? You know, mm-hmm. make that, you know, be, to change like the tenant base, to change the narrative, you know, about the negativity surrounding my area.
Okay. So when you talk about changing your area and things like that, one of the words I noticed that you kind of said or stumbled on is to have my neighborhood predominantly. And what does that look like for you? You're investing into your community. Do you believe in like gentrification? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, I believe in gentrification, but not in the sense of pushing people out. That look like me, or that look like me too as well, to to improve the area, to bring people in that look like us, and to raise property values in the area, you know, where I'm from. So one of the houses that I just completed, it went viral on Instagram, and people were like, I can't believe it. It sold for that much, and here go gentrification. Here you gonna push all of us out. But it's really to bring people in. Mm-hmm. You know, I done brought in truck drivers, nurses, VA vets, and I'm gonna continue to do that, to invest in properties that was not desired by anyone at all. And maybe put it now, a nurse resides, and she can raise her family, her kids, that look like all like us.
Wow, that's really good. So what kind of, change do you think that might bring about for the kids that'll be raised there in the future versus how you were raised in the community?
Yeah, so like how I was raised, it was heavy crime. So like, you know, it's crazy that you said it, because you don't realize what that trauma was until you get older and you look back. Like, mm-hmm. that wasn't normal. But, mm-hmm. you know, the goal is for the new generation of children growing up to where they can have somewhere, a great school district, less shootings, less crime, better food options, because people don't realize when you improve an area, it brings other businesses to the area too. So you get better food quality, you get more policing, better teachers, better school districts. All those things are an effect when you raise your property value in the area.
Yes. And just like we were, you know, kind of talking a little bit earlier, that's why it's important to continue to talk about and educate on developmental trauma and how that impacts us. And so when we look at developmental trauma, we look at things that impacted us in our developmental stages of life. So at times while we're at an adult at 30, 40, 50, and however plus, and we can rationalize things and say, oh yes, I was just raised in, you know, a low income neighborhood. My mom was a single mom, but she did what she had to do. She, you know, I love my mom. You know, it was great. Everything was wonderful. And then we look at how we are today and maybe some of our relationships or in the workforce or in our communities. And what I do when looking at developmental trauma is going back and seeing how those early childhood traumas impacted you or impacting you now. Right. So when we look back at it, you said, for example, that you lived in a low-income neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And that is the story of many of us. So when we think of low-income neighborhoods, we think of high crime.
Yes.
We think of government assistance,
Section 8.
You know, Section 8,
single parent
household, latchkey kids, etc., etc. Parents, at least one parent, maybe in incarcerated, or they know someone who is in, you know, incarcerated. High violence, all of these things. So studies have shown that through, you know, like testing, you know, surveys of what's called the ACEs, is that these are things that can lead to traumatic stress.
And that was a key point that you hit, like single parent household. Like, I didn't realize, like growing up, I thought that was normal. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love my father to death. He passed, RIP. But I thought that was normal, you know what I'm saying? But now I have a family, I have kids,
yeah.
And to see how my children are developing, I realized, looking back, like, that wasn't right for my mom to work hard like how she did.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't right for her to raise these kids by herself. And, you know, I just make sure that I set a different example for my children, you know what I'm saying? So that they see their father go out here and kill it. And it's basically my son, you know, my daughter has something to know what's right, and my son sees something that he can, what's the word I'm trying to say, like, he see the perfect example of what a man's supposed to be. So, it's just crazy that just looking back that I didn't realize that, you know, that those things were normal to me.
Like, mm-hmm.
Seeing houses falling apart, that was normal. Seeing police chases, that was normal. Like, it was like, oh, this dude right there, that's great. It was just normal. But now I look back like, that wasn't normal.
Okay.
That wasn't normal. So that's the goal, to change that.
So you brought up a really good key point when you were talking about, you know, changing it from, you know, your experiences from what your children, you know, experience. And that is a lot of times that's the key factor in even learning about yourself and knowing what your negative core beliefs are, knowing what your core values are and things of that nature from when you were raised, so that we can break some of those negative factors, those negative behaviors, those generational curses, et cetera, to where, you know, they say if we knew better, they do better. And some people just, you know, and we're learning more and more as generations come and we get more educated and we're becoming, you know, more into, you know, mental health and more research and more things are coming out to, you know, help us to be, you know, self-aware, self-love, and to change that and increase in that in our children. So, maybe what are some things that you can look back at that, you know, maybe how your mom raised you or taught you that you've learned from that you don't want to pass down to that you're not going to pass down to your children?
I think the main thing, just, you know, like my mom, me and my mom is like this. So it's like, I think this like that because of default, because that's all I had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and me and my father was close, but me and my mom, like, we kind of like, she did the best that she could.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, like, the one thing that I will, you know, looking back that I seen that wasn't normal was how hard she worked.
Mm.
I think that women in general shouldn't have to work that hard.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's not right. So, you know, my fiance, even my daughter, like, everybody works, you know, but I get it, but just, like, towards, like, if I don't go to work today, life's gonna get cut off.
Yeah.
Or if I miss 2 weeks of work, something gonna get disconnected, but it might get bad. And I think that's, I feel like that's not normal. Like, women in general, I feel like them pressure should be put more on men than women, because I feel like it's a man's job to provide and go out there and make it happen. Then, like, my mom was in a masculine position because she had no choice.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing that I feel like that's not normal.
Okay.
Just how hard she's
working. Yeah, and all those things that you listed and said, it goes back into what shapes us and what forms us. What are the core beliefs that we've developed? I don't have nobody else but me.
Right.
You know, I have to control this situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever it may, you know, make nobody will ever love me again.
Yeah.
You know, whatever these may be, push and change your mom's behavior.
I mean, and even though another thing too, just another key factor is how she disciplined us too.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back, I realized why she was so tough on us, because like she had to be, like she's raising boys. So
mm-hmm.
like you can't be weak, you can't show no weakness raising boys, they run over you. So like she very strict on us too, very strict on me, you know what I'm saying? She didn't really play games like that, like, you know, against us. Like, I got into a lot of trouble going to school, like getting suspended. The typical things, fighting. And looking back on it, I didn't realize how detrimental that was for her to have to take all the work to bring you back to school. That one day she missed, it's a problem, you know? And now I realize, like, I get it, man. Like, I see why you was hard on me like that. And I understand how you missing 2 days of work or having a call and have somebody else watch me while you're at work because I should be in school. Those things, you know, it hits me now that I'm a father.
Yeah.
I understand. I completely understand.
And that's the point of all of this and going to therapy and going and working on, you know, yourself and continuing to, you know, self-improve so that we won't continue to pass things down to the next generation. You may pass down some other stuff, but just like our parents before us, we do the best that we can because there is no, you know, manual. But again, When you know better, you do better. Oh, so yeah. We can learn from our past generations and making sure that, okay, now I see how X, Y, and Z impacted me, whether it was positive intent, whether it's negative intent. For example, with positive, I have someone who, they're dealing with the same type of issues that someone may have dealt with if their parents was dirt dogging them, but they come from a successful two-parent household. They went to college, et cetera, but because of their parents being successful, they put a lot of pressure on their child to also be successful, can't get, you know, bad grades, you know, study hard, this and that and the third. So now in life and in career, they're stressed out and they feel or struggle with negative thoughts of I'm inadequate.
That makes sense.
And so that's how it all, you know, comes together and play the part. So as I said, the important thing is to make sure that you're doing the work so that we're not passing it down and continuing to pass it down.
Trying to break this cycle.
Absolutely. Just like you're doing with your community.
Trying my best. Doing my best. But we're getting better every day.
Wonderful. Let's get into a little bit of fun.
Let's go.
We're gonna go for the 10 for 10.
Let's go.
All right. See how many we can get through. Good or bad, what is your earliest childhood memory?
Good.
What is your earliest childhood memory? Whether it's good or bad.
Okay, whether it's good or bad. Holidays, going to my grandmother's house and all my family. Everybody, nobody's dead, nobody in jail. And see my grandmother vibrant cooking for a whole entire family, kids playing outside, running. No social media, no Instagram, no pictures, just being a kid and running wild, eating till I passed out. Like, that's why, like, those memories I'll never forget. Like, that was my childhood memories with my grandmother being vibrant and just all my cousins, aunties, and uncles. Beautiful childhood growing up.
Okay, down in the loo. And I forgot, almost forgot to shout out to my boy Chingy.
Chingy.
Yeah, because I was hearing when you was talking and you were going with the thur and the her. And I was like, yeah. I like it when you do it like that. And I was like, oh, Chingy, remember that time in St. Petersburg, Florida? In...
I should have.
2000.
You got a real memory.
Four?
She got a real memory.
Oh, I got pictures.
Oh, man.
You and your brother.
Uh huh.
Y'all was with the Yin Yang twins.
Like, do that sound weird? Like, saying, like, I don't see it, though. Like, here and there.
No.
That's how we talk.
No, it doesn't sound. No, it doesn't sound weird at all. It's just like when Canadians say, hey, and, you know, when we down south and.
Yeah.
Louisiana and the boot, be like, babe. And we'll, you know, hear it and just, you know, yeah. it's just a thing. It's, you know, it's just a thing. And those of you who don't have a thing, you should be jealous.
Yeah.
I like the way you did that right there.
That's hilarious.
What is your greatest fear?
Wow. My greatest fear probably would be not completing my purpose. Not completing my purpose.
Damn, that's deep.
Like, have you ever heard like a story, like a story when like somebody, let's say there's a person, he's a grandfather, he's probably in his 70s, he's got grandchildren,
mm-hmm.
and he sees his grandson and his child like, yeah, you know, okay. Oh, back in the day, your grandfather used to do this. I used to own this, and I had this. You know? But he don't got that now. You know, maybe he lost it all. Could have been bad decisions. Could have been drugs. So I fear not being able to complete my purpose and be able to have what not be a used to be. Actually have what I completed my job. I did everything I was supposed to do to work. Something happened to me in that moment, I'm fine. I did. I came and conquered. I did what I needed to do to provide for the generations after me.
Wow.
So that's what, you know, not gonna be my purpose, but my biggest fear.
Wow, that's really deep. I hear, you know, a lot of people often say, you know, fear of failure.
Right.
You know, but I've never heard anyone ever say it, the fear of not completing my purpose.
It's scary because I think we are the biggest asset that we have in life is time. So we don't realize, you know, that's why we go to people to prison. They take their time away. That's the biggest pain that you can feel. So I think we don't realize how much time we really do have, and there's so many distractions in life that can take away from the things that you need to be doing. So I feel like focusing and not realizing how much time you do have. So every day is I gotta get to it because I gotta complete this.
How did you define your purpose? Because I feel like a lot of people may be wondering, well, you know, may not know what their purpose is.
So like my personal purpose is really driven on generational wealth, you know, not really growing up, not really having much, but not realizing I didn't have much until I became an adult and looked back like, wow, like we really didn't have much. Happy child, but I thought it was normal to not have much. Like, driving as a kid, seeing a big house, like, oh, my house is beautiful, I love one day. But my house, it was normal. Like, it's normal to go outside, shooting. Like, these things were normal to me. So like, when it comes to like purpose for me is to be able to set my I'm thinking about my grandchildren. Like, what can I give them that I didn't have? Mm-hmm. And you know, in life we live a life where we go day by day, but we're not really thinking about tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Being selfish, thinking about ourselves. I'm not thinking about, I need to think more about my son or my son's son.
Yeah.
What can I do that can set them up? And he not even here yet. He not even thought of it. So that's what purpose means to me. Like doing, making the sacrifices, going through the pain or whatever you gotta do to get it done to where you can provide for generations that's not even existing.
What is your greatest accomplishment?
My kids. Having kids. Like, having kids, I feel like being a single guy, having a lot of fun, it's just wild, you know, just having so much fun. I feel like once I had my kids, I realized, like, man, I got people that depend on me every day to make the right decisions, people that depend on me to nurture and care and instill them in the right direction. So my kids is like one of my biggest accomplishments. Like, nah, it ain't no money, it ain't none of that first. It's my kids, my children.
Wow. For some reason I knew that with all that you've accomplished, you were gonna say your children.
How you know
that? It just
hit you.
It's just that type of guy.
Yeah.
Told you my boy.
Yeah.
You my
kids.
Boy.
Yeah, my kids.
So we got to 3 out of 10. So that means that we need to have Mr. Chris Ross Verity back in the building with us. But before we go, we want to shout out to my home girl, my love, my big sis, Miss Tiana Von Johnson, who is sponsoring our show tonight with her Rarity collection. If you don't know, you need to check out theraritybag.com for all of her custom-made handbags. Also, here's a secret. Y'all check out my website at droliviawest.com. Miss Tiana Von Johnson is coming to Atlanta, Georgia to premiere her new movie. And I, the one and only Dr. O, have exclusive tickets for a select few of my friends.
Can I get to it?
Absolutely. So, that's minus two. So y'all make sure that you go and visit us at droliviawest.com to find out more about the exclusive event that Ms. Tiana Von Johnson will be hosting here in Atlanta. I am so super excited. And make sure you check out theraritybag.com. You need to get one for your fiance. When I tell you them bags are bad, bags are bad.
To the bone?
Past the bone. Okay. To the gristle. Custom made. Oh yes, absolutely. Yes. All it is black owned.
That's what I'm talking about.
And she has her new album coming out. So the movie is to her, the videos to her album, the story that she's telling is gonna be. Y'all be in for a treat. Yes, you will. So make sure you check us out to find out more information.